Well, hey girls, you've tuned into Braveheart Talks. This is season 3 of our podcast and we're so glad you're here today. How are you doing, Emma?
I'm good, thanks, Meg.
You excited for this next season of Braveheart Talks?
Absolutely.
We love them.
Lots to talk about.
We have. Girls always have things to talk about. We never run out of things to talk about. But today is a special episode because something special is happening this week. And that is that your second book is having its release this Friday.
That's right.
I feel like I'm going to say congratulations because this is your second book now. That's quite impressive to write 2 books.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a slightly different book. I can't really take credit for being the sole author of this book. I would have to say the word of God really is the sole author of this book. Yeah. But yes, thank you anyway.
Yeah, it's coming out this Friday. So talk us about this book. It's called A Pocket Full of Brave. Like you said, it is a different kind of book. But tell me first, what was your motivation behind writing this book?
I think for me, it's always been the word of God has always been my anchor for as long as I can remember, whatever season I've been in life, whenever I've been literally fighting for my life or my marriage or needed to speak some words over my children, it's always been the word of God. But I think what I've come to learn after spending time with so many women is not everybody knows where to go in the word of God to find a scripture that's going to help them in their time of need. And so, you know, if you've got a medicine box at home, a medical cabinet, you know, you've got to choose the right medication for the problem that you have because you know, a headache doesn't, a headache tablet, a paracetamol doesn't, you know, do anything for, I don't know, an ingrowing toenail or the other way around. Yeah. You can't put a plaster on a headache type of thing. You've got to choose the right medication. And so the word of God works exactly the same. And I think that many of us, we talked last time at conference about how many of us women, we turn to the word of God like we would our handbag, where we open it and we just reach inside to just like, I'll just find anything. I'll just find a scripture, you know, I'll just find something. But, you know, if you're going through a health crisis, then reading a passage of scripture on marriage is really not going to be of benefit to you. And the word of God is most powerful in your life when you understand it and when you apply it right.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, when I did my stint in hospital, I had power words written from the word of God, written down, had them on my wall. I would take them in my handbag. I would have them everywhere so I could read them, so I could recite them, so I could speak them out, because I knew that the doctors would make me well, but only God would make me whole.
Yeah.
And there is a difference. I didn't want to just get better. I wanted to be made whole. But like I say, this doesn't just relate to sickness, but I would probably say that season of my life was probably a trigger to getting to the point of doing the book today, because I think so many of us need the word of God to be accessible to us, but to also to understand how we use it and how we apply it.
Yeah, I love that, Em. And in this book, you know, when you open it, you've dedicated to this book and you said, this book is dedicated to every woman seeking freedom in her life.
Yes.
And I love that because it speaks of your heart for this book, but also it suggests that as women, we're not always living in freedom because you're saying that we're seeking freedom. So what are some areas do you think, like when, you know, if we're not free, we're captive to something, you know, we're living in a place of captivity. So what would you see, or what do you see like a common trends around women, you know, women in the church, that some areas that we are just captive in, that we're not living free in?
Yeah, I think that again was a real trigger point, is knowing that we do live in captivity. And you know what? As girls, we're just brilliant at masking it.
Yeah.
We tell everybody, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, somebody asks you, how are you? How are you? How are you? Your word is, I'm fine all the time. But the truth is, if you're fine in your marriage, the wheels falling off with the kids. If you're fine in your marriage and your kids, the chances are you've got a health issue going on. If you're fine in all of those three areas, then it will be a work problem or a financial crisis. Like, there is just always something that I think holds us captive. And that word captive, it really, if you imagine being in a prison, if you were in a cell, then you can't go anywhere but the four walls of that cell. And we can get stuck in a thought process that is like being in that cell of four walls. Like you can't get out of the loop of thinking the way you think. And any problem that dominates your life, it takes you down. I find problems, they paralyze you. You know, fear gets a grip of you. You can't function. You can't move. Worry gets a hold of you. And quite often worry is more about something that hasn't happened. Same with anxiety. You get anxious over what might be or what could be. So prisons for people held captive, quite often it's in the mind. The Bible tells us that that's where the devil's activities take place. Mm. But scripture also tells us it's with the mind that we please Christ.
Yeah.
Because it's when we get our mind in order that we actually please Christ. And so in the mind, we get in captivity. It's about the way I think about me. Mm. It's the way I think others think about me. These hold me captive. It's the way I'm thinking about my situation. It's the way I'm looking at my life. It's the way I'm applying myself. It's the weight of worry and concern and dread and fear and the unknown. And they all sabotage us because they just take over our mindset.
Yeah.
And so really my intent of this was to help women unlock.
Yeah.
Their minds
yeah.
and free themselves, because that's how we are transformed mm-hmm. is by the reading of the word of God yeah. that transforms our minds.
Yeah.
And so that really is what that word captive looks yeah. like. So, yeah.
And I love that.
To free yourself up.
You know, we read, don't we? It's the word of God that sets us free, but then it goes far. It says in the Bible how it's the truth that you know that sets you free.
Yeah.
So it's how much you know of the truth. So that is what this book, but speaking to this, because when, you know, I've had the opportunity to have this book for a few days before it gets released. It's not your usual book. You don't just pick it up and have a casual no. read from it. So you start this book by talking to us about how we are to navigate our way through this book.
Yeah.
So share that with the readers, because, you know, it's good to hear from your heart. Like, how should we really take hold of this book and yeah. use it to the best?
Well, it's certainly not a Mills and Boom. It's certainly not a light a candle, get in the bath and have a long yeah. read. It's not kind of the story you get into.
Yeah.
This book, it's not a leisurely read, it's an active tool. That's the best way for me to describe it. And that's why I say you should never be without it. Made that size handbag.
It does fit in your pocket as well.
The glove pocket of your car, your back pocket of your jeans. Literally, it can go anywhere with you at any time. So that's really important. But this book is it's living, it's active, it's sharp. That's how the book of Hebrews describes the word of God, as living, as active, as sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we talk about how you read it, there has to be an understanding of it.
Yeah.
So I think that if anybody's got this in their hands, it's because they have an idea that the Bible is the truth. It's the inherent word of God. It's alive, it is active, and it works.
Yeah.
So if you've got hold of one of those and you believe that with all of your heart, you understand that the word of God is a sword, and the sword is the only thing that does damage to the enemy. You self-pitying yourself might make you feel better for a moment, but it does no damage to the yeah. enemy. Having a coffee with your mate and talking through your problems, it doesn't do any damage into the enemy's camp.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, we're called, right, to live out the life that God intended for us. But in the same way that the Israelites went into the promised land, it was the land that God had promised to them, flowing with good things. It was only when they were in the land of promise that their fighting started, because they had to fight to own the land
yeah.
that God had already given to them. And so God has promised you a life of peace, and prosperity and blessings. We don't have a problem-free life when we're saved, but we have all of these. These things are divinely promised to us. But it's when you are saved, when you become a Christian, that we then have to fight to live in the freedom of that life that God has given us. And so this is where this comes in. So each page is done like different scriptures, you know, and some cool quotes. But on the whole, it is just various different scriptures that you would speak over yourself. You know, when I read the word of God, and especially when I'm reading it because I'm praying and fighting for something in my life, I read it out loud because scripture tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So your soul needs to hear what your mouth is saying, and that is how your faith is built. I kind of have told the girls at the beginning of this book, I talk about how to use it. One of the things that I do say is read it out loud when and where you can. But the other thing is about using it with authority. Like if you were in a fight in the natural, you wouldn't be silent. There would be some like coming out of you, because like, you know, if somebody was going to grab hold of your child and try and take your child from you, oh my gosh, you would put everything into it. You would be like all of your energy, all of your power. You'd create a noise to let them know I'm coming after you. You know, that's how we're supposed to use the word of God to the enemy. It's like, but what we tend to do is we see our children going through something. We see our marriages falling apart. We get a diagnosis. We have a situation in work and we're sort of all praying like, oh, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is so terrible. Pity me. This is awful. Just look at what's happening to me. And what we do is we inform God about our situation. And God doesn't want to be informed, because he knows, but he wants you to invite him into your situation. And we do that. God responds to his word, doesn't respond to our words. He responds to his word. So we take the word of God and we learn to fight. Put your own name in the Bible.
Put
your own name in there.
And that's what you say to us girls in here.
God did not give Emma a spirit of fear, but one of love and peace and a sound mind. And I say this day that Emma has a sound mind and she will walk in peace, God, because that's what your word told us.
Yeah. I think the key thing there, like what you're teaching us, is to speak it out loud. And I think that's a, that's something the girls might not have done before. Like, I know that's something that I've probably not done a lot of. And that's something that I'm trying to implement in my life. Like, I'm like looking around me, like, who's around? Okay, I could speak it. Like, my car's the best place. And even in my house, I'm like, the neighbors might hear this, but it's probably good for them. When did you start doing that, Emma? Because I don't think it's natural. And I don't think it's been taught in the church necessarily to speak the words out loud and to, you know, to use your voice. But you're very passionate about that. So was there a time in your life when you realized, I'm doing this wrong, I need to actually declare this and speak it? And what change did you see for you?
Oh, I'll tell you a funny story though. If my dog could speak English, she would know the word of God better than anyone.
Amen.
I speak
Holy
it
dog.
She's right there beside me and she howls along with me sometimes. And it's not kind of like, I wouldn't say it's a practice that I do every single day. I talk to God audibly every day. Like you said, driving the car. And but many years ago when I was a young teenager, and I'm talking about 13, 14 years old, I used to struggle with fear a lot. Don't really know why, don't know where that came from, but it would have a grip on me. Some nights I wouldn't even be able to get out of bed to go to the bathroom, because I felt like fear was a presence that sat on me. And nothing had happened, but it was always my mind running wild over situations and circumstances. Yeah. And it was always the fear of what might be. But fear is such a tangible thing. And I fell asleep one night and I had a dream, but I actually believe that the Lord spoke to me in this dream.
Wow.
And I was running down a really dark lane, and it was tree lined, this this road, trees everywhere. And it was very late one evening and it was really dark. And I was running down this road and I knew that I was running away from fear. Mm-hmm. And I was running for my life's worth. And as I turned around, a tree started to fall. And as this tree was falling in the dream, I knew that I needed to run faster and faster. Have you ever seen those cartoons where the legs are moving, but they're not actually moving? Yeah. They're like running on the spot. That's what I felt like I was doing. I knew this tree was going to kill me and I couldn't seem to outrun it.
Wow.
And in this dream, this is just my interpretation as a 13-year-old girl, heard the voice of God say to me, turn around and speak to the tree.
Wow.
Speak the name of Jesus and command it to stop. And in this dream I did, I turned around and I commanded in the name of Jesus and this tree just, it stopped halfway.
That.
And I began to breathe and I began to walk and I never, ever, ever have forgotten that dream. And I actually felt like that was the start of God showing me, you speak the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you command it to stop. Wow. You speak the name of Jesus because that has more power than any other name. And I think that's where the journey of scripture began for me, you know, which I've used, you know, particularly going into my adult life and the things we have to navigate and, you know, a lot of foolish choices that I made in my teenage years and having to, you know, get my life back on track. But I feel like the word of God is the most powerful tool that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brings peace into the worst of situations.
Yeah.
You know, the things like when the circumstances don't change on the outside, you can be changed on the inside.
Mm.
And it's so important to understand that we have an authority, that we don't just have to go through life just waiting to see what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
But actually we have a way to fight the enemy, and that is through the written word of God.
I love that.
So
thanks for sharing that. And I think, you know, this book is going to help us. It gives us words to actually say it. It gives us scripture, then it gives us declarations. So let's open a few pages of this and give a little sneak preview into some of these. I think the women are going to, like, I know for me, there'll be some pages that are going to be like your standout pages. They're the pages for you in that season. That's what you're going through. That's what you need to hear.
Yeah.
So for every girl, every page is going to hit differently for them.
And can I just say, like, my Bible is an absolute mess, an absolute mess. But I tell you what, a messy Bible means a tidy life.
Yeah.
A tidy Bible means a messy life.
That's funny. That's the only principle that you could use that. Nothing, you can't use that anywhere else.
Well, that's
a messy house is not good. Anything else messy.
It's the upside down kingdom, isn't it? So
amen.
I'm like, if you've got a hold of one of these books, then absolutely highlight it, write in it,
post-it
put dates
notes.
In it, do whatever you like.
Yeah.
Just, you know, deface it because it's yours and it's your word of God. So
let's pick a page at random then, and then, you know, read us what it says, because the listeners might not have the book in their hands right now, and then just tell us how you would articulate that. So let's go to page 11. So read out that, what it says on it, read the scripture and the declaration, and then show us how you'd maybe use that, or what you'd use that for.
Page 11. Okay. So page 11 looks like this, and we've put scripture and then giving you a little declaration. Some other pages have a little declaration to help you read out with authority. So the scripture says, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. So the declaration that I would say is, I will be still while the Lord is fighting for me.
Yeah.
You know, that stillness, it's talking about a stillness in my heart. It's a stillness in my mind. Mm-hmm. It's I am not going to waste time worrying about what I can't change.
Yeah.
So what I am going to do is I'm going to breathe.
Mm.
I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to picture myself taking it to God. And I'm going to tell you, God, I need you right now. But then the word talks about us having our feet planted firmly upon the rock, and the rock is Jesus, and it's an immovable rock.
Yeah.
And that's really what that scripture is saying. It's like, when I give it to Jesus, what we do is we pray prayers. We think we've given the problem to Jesus, then we walk away and start worrying again. Yeah. We start ringing everyone and texting everyone, and it's just terrible, and this is blah, blah, blah. No, what we need to do is we need to give it to Jesus
first.
Let him fight that fight and say, I'm going to breathe.
Yeah.
And in that time when I'm breathing, I'm just going to be speaking out the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
You're fighting for me, Jesus. Thank you that you're fighting for me. Peace in my spirit,
mm-hmm.
peace in my heart, peace in my mind, peace in my household. Jesus, you're fighting for me.
Yeah. I love that. I think that'll be my bedtime go-to, page 11. When I'm going to bed, like you said, you can only be still when you sleep, but you're knowing that God is fighting for you. Yeah. So that's going to be my bedtime story every night. Let's go to one more, Emma. Let's try page 17, a different one. So again, share with the girls the scripture, share the declaration, and then maybe share like, what could a woman use this page for, or what kind of season, or what could they be going through to use page 17?
Page 17 is Isaiah 58, verse 8. Looks like this. Ooh, looks like this. And it says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of God will be your guard. And the declaration that goes with that says, the Lord goes before me, and he is behind me, and he will quicken my healing.
Mm.
And I love this, because this passage of scripture from Isaiah is really talking about the children of Israel when they journeyed from Egypt, and they were sort of 40 years in that wilderness season. But actually God manifested to them in the day. He was this cloud, this pillar, I was going to say a pillar of smoke, but like a cloud in the shape of a pillar. And at night, that pillar was a burning fire. And it talks about how God was before them, but he also brought up the rear behind them so that no harm could get to them whilst they were traveling from one place to the other. And when you're in a season of need from God, when you're going through something, you are not where you want to be, and you're not where you came from. So for example, you might be walking out a season of healing right now. You might be journeying through a sickness right now. You might be in some form of counseling right now. You might be under a psychologist look at you right now, or a counselor look at you right now. There might be something in your mind that's disturbing you. Any phase of life, you might have children that are far away from you. There's just so many examples in life where you're in a transient period. You're in between places. And this is just an encouraging scripture to say that God is before you and God is behind you. And I love the bit in the middle that says, and your healing will come quickly. Because I just believe that when you're in that place, when you know you're sandwiched between the goodness of God, put him first of a morning when you wake up. Make sure he's the last person you talk to before you go to sleep, and let him do everything in the middle. And in his time, I believe that he'll see your life, you know, set
strong. And I love that, Em, because actually you could read Isaiah 58 verse 8, and I probably wouldn't have got that declaration from it. So the fact that you've given the girls easy declarations from it, you know, you've understood the contents of the scripture, you've spent your time studying it, so you know exactly what we can declare over it. So I think that's why the book's so good, because it gives us girls words that we might not be able to get from scripture, but they are based on scripture, and we can use them in a powerful way, and they make sense. Like, that makes sense, that declaration. You can say that sometimes the Bible has words it doesn't make sense, but you've made sense with the declaration. So the girls are going to absolutely love this book. I'm so excited to take it around with me, put it in my bag, put it in my pocket, you know, share the love, use it, declare it, have it in my car when the kids are sleeping, declare it and use it. So my last question, Em, with A Pocket Full of Brave, you know, this is your second book. Some of the girls have had your first book, and that was A Daily Dose of Brave.
Yes.
So maybe for the girls who've had the first book, they're about to buy the second book. Like, what's the difference? Because they're both about, you know, you know, this is Braveheart Ministry. We're all about being brave. But what's the difference between the two?
Yeah, so a daily dose of brave is, it's really about every single day, taking a page, taking a chapter. It's done in a very cool magazine style. And it really is taking a piece of scripture and expanding on that to help you meditate, to help you think on the goodness of God, to help you figure some stuff out in life, and just to really empower you daily with the word of God, because it's really good to take the word of God and just let it manifest within you every single day. Yeah. Pocket Full of Brave is different. It's like I said at the beginning, where it's not a sit down and read. You can get a coffee and you can sit down and you can read a day, pick up any of the days in this book, and it will take you on a journey from a start to finish. But Pocket Full of Brave is different because you can open it on any page and you can apply any of those scriptures.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to work through it from the beginning to the end. I would encourage you to read the introduction and to read the beginning few pages, because they do really explain how to use it. But apart from that, it literally just is scripture. And although we're not supposed to go like that with our Bibles, and we're supposed to read our Bibles, these scriptures have all been hand selected to help you fight what it is you're facing. And so, yeah, you can open it any page and really just begin to speak into your situation. Yeah. God responds to his word. He doesn't respond to our complaints. God is attracted to his words. And so when you're speaking the word of God, you're reminding him, hey, God, this is what you said over my life. And I'm speaking it out to you. And I'm asking you to be present in this situation. And so, yeah, they're just great reminders. I put at the end of this book, I'll just read out what I've written for the final thoughts, because it might help understand better how we use this book. The final thoughts I've written: and when she got to the end, she realized she was only just beginning, for the fight for her life would be ongoing, as life is a journey, a progression through time, heading towards eternity. Though she'd slayed many dragons and fought numerous battles, she knew there would be more to come, and there would never be a day for her to lay her sword down. She must have it to hand at all times, and daily she must quote it, speak it, and protect all that she has with it, defending her territory, protecting her dignity, and showing the enemy that she will live her life forever in victory.
Wow. And the music at the end of that.
But that's the thing. It's kind of one of those books. You'll never read it and just put it down on your shelf. It's
reread. Yeah. Keep it with you. Yeah. Well, Emma, on behalf of the girls, I want to say thank you. Thank you for, you know, putting a book together is not easy. And yes, it's the word of God, but you've had to study the word of God to pick the right scriptures for the right time, for the right women to read it. You've spent time finding us declarations. So us girls want to say thank you for not stopping at book one, for doing book two. We're excited for book three. No pressure. But we can't wait to get into this. So thank you for giving the girls a tool. Thank you for all your labor into it. We are excited to have this. But for girls, you listening, this book is coming out Friday. It's not long away. You can get a hold of these books online. Head on over to the Braveheart website. You can get book one and book two if you haven't already got the Daily Dose of Brave. But get your hands on one of this, and why don't you buy it for someone in your world? We've made these super cheap, so you can just get your hands on it. Cost is not going to be an issue. Buy them for the girls in your world. Buy it for yourself. Invest into it. Put it in your handbags. But girls, we're so glad that you've joined us today for Braveheart Talks. We will see you in our next podcast. Take care.